Well, AJ, we saw Santa today. Did you tell him what you wanted for Christmas?
A nap.
I can take so many naps that it's not a problem, and I'm like desperately trying not to.
Must be nice.
Working on that, my diet, my sleep schedule. I got a lot of things working on. I'm trying. Help! Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Blood. You don't like my hello? You like the way I say hello? Hello. Welcome to the Exploding Bro podcast for December 22nd, 2019. This is Mike Minotti, joined by the giggle head over there, Adge guy.
I know, you said that, because you picked up your head as you said it.
I'm trying to amp myself up a little bit, all right? It's late. I'm a few beers in. I'm hungry. All right. So, how's it going, Adge guy?
Great.
Great. So this is mostly going to be a spoiler cast for the new Star Wars, I assume.
Yeah,
so.
You probably shouldn't listen to this if you haven't seen that movie yet.
Yeah, I was going
to
go ahead and say it right now. Yeah, just don't listen if you haven't seen the movie, because we'll talk about that a bunch.
Otherwise, you know, join us next week for a Game of the Year podcast. Yeah. Bye.
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple other things I'm sure we'll talk about, but I guess we can just get to Star Wars, Episode the Ninth, The Rise of the Skywalker.
Just Rise of Skywalker.
I know.
Okay, just checking.
I was doing a thing.
Just checking.
Yeah. So, I get it. All right. What did you think?
I loved it.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's real surprising, right, everybody?
Okay, here's a good question. What is your least favorite of all the new Star Wars movies, like, in the Disney era?
Oh, in the Disney era?
Because you have loved all of them.
Yes, it's true. I mean, probably Last Jedi.
Okay. Interesting.
I still like Last Jedi.
So you don't like it? Because like a lot of people who don't like this new one are the people who really liked Last right. Jedi.
Well, here's the thing. I can freely admit Last Jedi is a very uneven movie.
Yeah, I'm not a big...
I think it's like the kindest criticism I could levy against that film.
I'm the person who's like, it's fine. It's okay. Some people are like, it's a subversive masterpiece. And I'm like, some people are like holding it up on this pedestal as this big smart thing. And I'm like, it's not that
it's
smart.
It's literally because Luke Skywalker's grumpy. And they're like, ooh, look how it's
and it's like, some, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm like, it's fine.
Well, everyone's gets really caught up in the whole let the past die, kill it if you have to. I'm like, that's what the bad guy said to trick the good guy into joining him.
I mean,
and
also...
At the end of that same movie, Luke Skywalker says everything you just said is wrong and explains how the past isn't dying. So,
I mean, Rey steals the books. And I mean, also, you're seeing Star Wars 8. So, clearly, you're not like prescribing to that notion too much.
And so, to get into this movie, like, it's the inverse of Last Jedi, where the critics hate this movie. Yes. But the fan reaction is very strong, it would seem, looking at Rotten Tomatoes.
Unless you're like one of the people who really liked Last Jedi, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like.
And the big criticism is, you know, they played it too safe and they pandered. And
I mean, they played it safe for sure.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Okay. They made a movie people would like. I know that's shocking to everybody that was the goal. But I try to collect my thoughts here. I don't want to come off being too mean to some people.
Whoa. Why don't you ask me what I think first?
I do this to you all the time.
Yeah, you always do. I'm always like, AJ, what's your favorite hotel at Disney World? Then you talk about yours for 5 seconds and like there's an awkward silence. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm clearly basically just fishing for you to ask me for my opinion. It's not all about you.
So what did you think of the movie?
That was pretty good. Kind of dumb, but like, you know, whatever. I think, basically, I like it more than Last Jedi, not quite as much as The Force Awakens. Mm. And, like, my grand scheme of things, and maybe I'm just, like, there's a part of me that thinks I'm just, like, a nostalgic asshole, but there's another part of me that thinks this absolutely right is, like, beside, like, ranking the movies, it's really just original trilogy, sequel trilogy, prequel trilogy, right. And that's kind of just, like, how it goes for me.
Well, sure.
But I don't like it as much as you did. I guess that is what I'll say. And I'll try to bring up some of the flaws here, some things I thought stupid just to see how you react. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, my thing with Last Jedi, and I hate that, like, it seems like we can't even talk about this movie now without talking about The Last Jedi. Even like the month before this movie came out, all people did was just talk about the. I'm like, I get it. Some people were like, you guys are all mad about that movie one way or the other for some reason. Like, my whole thing with Last Jedi was that it was fine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't worth getting excited about one way or the other. And I'm kind of like, I kind of am like that with this too, but like, so my big thing with Last Jedi, the big criticism that bothered me is that the thing that made The Force Awakens fun was the chemistry with the leads. Like, Finn and Rey, and then Finn and Poe was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Last Jedi separates, like, all of them.
Yeah. And this movie brings them all finally together, which is one of the strong points this movie.
That's the best thing about this movie, is that those three really good actors, and they have a lot of chemistry with each other, are all with each other a lot, and it's very charming, and they're funny, and they're cute, and I like them.
Yes.
That's what worked for me the most. So, what did you want to say? Did the urge to be mean to people pass you yet?
I forget what I was going to say. I lost the kind of the point.
But good, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to keep you from attacking people. But I mean, there were things that were... I guess I don't ultimately feel like the sequel trilogy isn't... I don't want to say unnecessary, because what is necessary? But, like, you know, it is basically, let's get us back to where we already were at the end of Return of the Jedi, in a kind of way. Where, yeah, we defeated the Emperor and the bad guys, and now we're all free again.
A little bit.
It's fine. I don't care. And that's one of the things with people last year, like, oh, the themes. And I think you wanted to go out. You wanted to go to Jeff Grubb specifically. So I guess
I was going
to
name names.
But like, and I guess one of the things, like Jeff said, like, you know, he, one of his kind of criticisms of episode 9 is like, what are the themes of episode 9? Because, you know, episode 8 had all these themes. And I guess to that, I kind of say, what are the themes of A New Hope? You know, it's a pretty typical action adventure hero's journey. And I think that's fine.
And I think I can tell you themes of episode 9.
Well,
if you want
me
to.
You can stretch and come up with
themes. I don't
think
I have to stretch. Lando Calrissian comes out and tells you what the theme of the movie is. It's getting together with your friends to overcome the odds.
Well,
that's the point. At the end, it's not an organized fleet. It's, as they say, just people.
I guess, and I'll be Jeff Grubb.
That's the theme.
I guess that theme maybe isn't necessarily as interesting as, quote unquote, let the past die. It's a movie. It's a Star Wars. No, I agree with that. It's just,
I know, like, you know, people like, you know, there's invalid, you know, there's the mysticism of the Force everyone likes, which kind of got thrown away when midichlorians came into the mix a little bit.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not going to discount and say there aren't deeper themes to Star Wars as a whole, but at the same time, that's not what it is. At its core, it's an action-adventure space fantasy that's a throwback to classic serials. Mm-hmm. You know, let's not lose sight of that.
So there's a real cynical part of me, and like, as I say this, it almost sounds mean, and I don't know if I fully believe it, but I almost feel like some adults don't read or watch things for adults anymore, so they kind of depend on things like Star Wars to give them some of that intellectual, like, food.
I get what you mean. It's like...
And, like, I don't...
Go read Moby Dick.
It sounds awful when I say it. I'm not trying to be mean, but it's like, you can, you know, go read Hemingway, you know, a little bit.
If that's what you're looking for, yeah.
You know?
I know what you mean.
I think it's good for blockbusters to have themes and be thoughtful and all that stuff. I'm not trying to, like, be like, just eat your popcorn and shut up. But there's a little bit of that, is true. But even saying that, there are some things in the movie that are kind of dumb. The whole, like, and this is coming from me who loves, like, treasure hunt movies. The treasure hunt aspect of it was kind of contrived and stupid. Like, the kind of national treasure aspect of it.
See, I
kind of
like that.
And I'm like, who's making these clues? Why, like, who, like, made the blade look like the wreck of the Death Star? And, like, why isn't the wreck changed? And, like, it was a little contrived. The single dumbest thing, and I think it only bars me because it's the climax of the movie, is Rey, like, defeating the Emperor by getting a second lightsaber and making the X and reflecting the Force lightning. I get the symbolism!
That's not what literally did it. It's not like two lightsabers was the secret along.
I know it's not exactly like that, but it's also kind of like that. I'll just say this. It's no Vader being redeemed from the dark side and, like, saving his son in this beautiful act while great music is playing.
But
it's not that.
I think Ben Solo redeeming himself.
Yeah, but that happens earlier.
No, it happens at the end.
It's happening still.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Though. I know what you mean. I'm just saying specifically the two lightsabers and the whole, like, I'm all the Sith, I'm all the Jedi. It wasn't, like, my big It was not Endgame where everyone's coming out and I'm like standing up and cheering. And I feel like that moment maybe should have been.
I thought
like,
the moment with all the voices of the past Jedi.
That was cool. And I liked how they had like some like Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they got
Cal Kestis.
Cal from the new game. But I liked that. I liked oh, look, here's Qui-Gon Jinn. That's interesting.
Yeah,
we finally got
Liam Neeson back in one of these movies.
So, no, I mean, it was fine. But I mean, and you know what's, it's funny how, I don't know if it was intentional or not, force healing has been a thing in the video games for a long ass time. We've never really seen it in the movies until we never saw it like live action until Wednesday, like the day before the movie comes out.
Spoiler alert for Mandalorian.
Yeah, spoiler for Mandalorian where Baby Yoda does it. And then all of a sudden, it's like,
is that why that episode came out early?
I almost wonder. Like, maybe.
You're right.
Okay, that's not the thing I'm upset about. So they're like maybe super dark side lightning was a little more fishy, whatever. But I mean, it's the Force, it's magic. That's okay.
Yeah.
I guess like the things I really did like the movie, besides from the chemistry, C-3PO is pretty great.
C-3PO was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I've always been a big C-3PO fan. Mm-hmm. So I liked that quite a bit. What's that new guy?
Babu Frick.
You think they're going to learn their lesson yet that everybody seems to really like the people who are just puppets?
Well, no, this movie was filled with puppets.
Yeah, but whenever...
Like that monster in the cave, that was practical.
Yeah, but they're so much better that like when they have the bad-looking CG character, like even in the beginning when it's like the guy like win the war and he gives him the thing, it just looks like a bad CG alien. I'm like, why isn't it just the puppet at this point? It looks so much better.
I don't remember that guy looked particularly...
At the very beginning.
Yeah, I know he is.
He looked bad.
He looked like an animatronic.
And going to that, another complaint. CGI de-aging still does not look very good. It looked better for Luke than it did for Leia. I presume because they had an actor to, like...
Well, it was so quick in this movie. Like, I couldn't even focus on it to really discern it, I guess.
That's fine. But I was talking about things I liked. I thought that the land speeder action scene was
that chase
sequence
was great.
That was really fun and exciting and neat. There was another part of me that's like, oh, our third desert world. Okay, but it was fine.
This one was pretty unique. It managed to come off. I like that little Easter egg that the celebration happens every 42 years. Do you get that?
No.
42 years ago, A New Hope came out.
Ah!
2019.
Well, how about, right? Isn't that cute?
Right?
Isn't that adorable?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. There's our part of me who's doing like a buy all replacements and toys jokes when it's like Rey with like dark side lightsaber, Rey with Leia's lightsaber, Rey with her own new color lightsaber. You know, like, but I'm like, you know, what? Sure, whatever. I get it. Yellow lightsabers aren't popular enough. Let's throw that in there. But yeah, I thought it was fun. I enjoyed watching it. I'd see it again.
Look, I'll tell you the things that I thought weren't as good in the movie.
All right, let's hear it.
I can do that.
What's it?
I mean, and I will get into a deeper discussion about this. The couple times that it did kind of retcon Last Jedi, I do feel a little like hand wavy.
I did get that. The whole pop.
I made Snoke, and there's like some Snoke in the tube, and it's like, why did you make Snoke?
You might have more to say, but I want to kind of stop you right there because that's kind of one of the problems with the trilogy was like, they didn't like have a blueprint.
Yeah, I'll get into this now. When you look at these movies, it's very clear that one guy made two of them and another guy made the other.
Right,
it's surprising to me, and I do consider maybe kind of a failure of this whole endeavor, which I don't understand why they didn't do this. It shocks me that they didn't sit down at the beginning and say, "Let's outline the trilogy.
Right,
here's where this is going."
Like, it seems like they never knew what Snoke was going to be. And when that was kind of the one thing in Force Awakens that worked the least, right? Mm-hmm. That was the one thing that no one was feeling. So yeah, they didn't know what to do with it. So they kind of killed him and then explained him away in the next one.
Because even like, you know, I the argument can be made, well, you know, George Lucas didn't know what he was doing with the original trilogy. Like, I don't know if you knew this. I think you listened to the soundtrack show. But like, not only did he not know...
Sure.
That Luke and Leia were going to be siblings, he was considering bringing in a whole new character to be the sister.
Right.
Until, you know, like, during pre-production. And so, like, but at the same time, this was Disney saying, boom, we're making a trilogy. Sit down and figure that shit out. Like,
especially considering how well they seem to think out the Marvel stuff on that side.
Right, right. It's very odd that they weren't more careful about that. I mean, that's supposedly part of the reason why Colin Trevorrow ended up leaving. Because he had in his head what he wanted to do with an episode 9, And then Last Jedi happens. Like, well, wait a second. You just like killed three of the characters I was going to use. You said Rey's parents are nobody. I had plans for that. And so that's, you know, the other one. Like, I need to watch again because that scene kind of happened fast where Kylo Ren's basically like, there's more to the story. And it's like,
it's a little hand wavy. Yeah, I always said that I liked Rey's parents being nobodies. And I will say of all the choices, the Palpatine one is the most interesting, but it is still a little gimmicky.
Well, and that is one that actually, if you could say this is, again, reaching, but there was musical evidence to always suggest she was a Palpatine. Yeah. Someone, when Force Awakens came out, analyzed the melody of Rey's theme, and it's very similar to Palpatine, sure, just with a different rhythm. So, like that's, like, makes me wonder, well, was that the plan, or was John Williams just guessing, or are we making that up, or who knows?
Interesting.
But, you know, and again, I my sense from that scene, again, I need to watch that scene again, because it was kind of quick, and I was trying to process it. It felt like, you know, I'm telling you you're nobody because I want you to join me. Well, you're not going to join me anymore, so now I'm going to try to hurt you and reveal the actual truth. Like, I guess maybe that's how it goes. I don't know. It's still, that felt a little, like,
a little.
Maybe, like Kylo Ren should have been the one to tell her. Like, maybe it should have been someone else to be like, he didn't know what he was talking about. Here's the actual truth.
Speaking of which, the Knights of Ren were in this movie, I feel like, basically because people were like,
who are the Knights of Ren?
Where are the Knights? Where's Poochie? Yeah. No. Yeah. It's like, so, all right, here they are. I'm like, okay.
Who are they? I don't know, some guys. They got axes and shit.
They're the Knights of Ren.
Because he's Kylo Ren.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. It's okay. Fine. Here it's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Also, one nitpick that's not the film's fault. I really wish the trailer didn't show the giant-ass fleet.
Yeah.
Because it kind of ruined the surprise of, like, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be a giant-ass fleet coming. We know this already.
This is very specific, but I really did enjoy the shot of them riding out on that, like, carrier with all of the, like, alien horse
things. Yeah, that's a great shot. Like, that's a cool thing.
I like BBA, and even, like, the new droid, Dio. Dio was cute.
Voiced by J.J. Abrams.
I just, his thing was fine. Mm-hmm. It was cute. There's a few too many times where, like, Rey's doing her spaced out, I have to go this way and leave my friends thing. I'm like, your friends are going to get hurt because of this decision. I know that's what they were going for.
Right.
But after a while, I'll be like, Rey.
It does happen like three times in the movie.
Rey, stop. Stick with them.
Or tell them what you're doing.
Rey, like this is an incredibly dangerous situation. They clearly need you.
But there's...
And there was... I'm sorry.
Oh, good. No, yeah.
There was a bit of... So, they put Carrie Fisher in through archive footage. And it works okay, but there's a lot of like... You could clearly tell they're like writing lines for the other characters based on things
that I already honestly had thought her. It was pretty convincing. Like 20 years from now, people watching this movie, I don't think that like
maybe I'm just distracted because all I can think about while I'm watching is like, she's dead.
Yeah,
you know?
like you have some of that baggage. And I think if you suspend your disbelief of that, I think it worked pretty darn well. I was very impressed
with it. It was a fun surprise when Han Solo showed up.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, so... Probably the most emotional I got in the movie was, it wasn't even so much when Leia died, because you kind of figured that would happen, and they kind of broadcast it before it happens.
Right.
She kind of goes that very similar to how Luke did. But then, so there's now I guess you call him Ben Solo at this point, and you hear that voice say, hey, kid. At first, I thought it was Luke.
Yeah,
because that's what he said at the end of Last Jedi, I see you around, kid. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, I skipped something. Before that, they get back to the base, and Chewie finds out Leia's dead.
Yeah, that was good.
It's him being upset, particularly because we never
got that scene of
him and Leia.
Chewie's been great in the whole trilogy.
Oh, yeah, he's phenomenal. So, like, that got me all like, oh, poor Chewie. And then, like, oh, here's fucking Han Solo one more time. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. You got me.
I mean... I guess if I was going to criticize it, it's like they had to invent a new thing because he couldn't be a Force ghost. He's a Force memory.
Yeah.
Chewie also got his medal, and I did like that.
Chewie has
medal. And almost my favorite thing in the movie was like one of the last like panning backward shots where like Chewie's like showing the medal to C-3PO.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just because that's ultimately what I like is the original trilogy. I'm like, those two characters.
Yeah, yeah.
They're interacting, because those two don't interact a whole lot necessarily in the whole thing.
Empire Strikes Back, he carried him around and fixed him.
I know, it was great. Loved it.
So yeah, that was very good. The other parts that got me pretty emotional Obviously, the end. Some people think it's like weird and cheesy or dumb. I like that she, like, before adopting the name of Skywalker, kind of saw the ghosts of that's Luke fine. And Leia yeah. and like kind of got their blessing to do it. And I was like, oh, that's
I like great. The ghost moment.
And then, you know, you put up the twin sunset and you play the music. I'm going to get misty eyed.
That's two trilogies now that end with the twin
yeah,
sunset.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but and not a criticism, but like they're always like, this is the end of the thing. And I'm like, there's clearly room for them to do episode 10 if they want to. Those lightsabers are buried there. Someone can go get them at some point. whatever. So I guess, do you have anything else like big you want to say about the movie?
I like all the Palpatine stuff. I think it's interesting to consider, like there's a lot of like lore you have to kind of fill in. And I think it's interesting to consider how this all worked. Like he has the line, I've died many times before.
I thought he said he had died once before. He said died many times before?
He said many. And the way I took it, because people are having their interpretation. So like he talks about how basically he wants Rey to kill him. So that, like, basically all the energy of all the Sith go into her as a new vessel.
That's kind of stupid.
Well, it's very Voldemort in a way, right?
Wow, okay.
and so, you know, in my
that
head...
That doesn't disprove that it's stupid.
I know. So, like, in my head, it's like, okay, so, like, this is what happened when he killed Darth Plagueis, right? He kills Plagueis and absorbs all the energy of all the Sith before that. And it's just, like, that's when he's talking about died many times before. This collective... of Sith energy is basically the real Emperor, and it's just going from host to host, and that's who's talking.
Maybe
ultimately, like I think that's cool. I like the effect of how he's like this like reanimated corpse on life support until he's like able to draw the force energy of the dyad to regenerate himself. Like it was like a impromptu Plan B. Thought that was cool.
All right, now I have two questions. First off, okay. Who do you ship Rey with?
I mean, I think Kylo. And then ultimately nobody. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, they never said what was Finn gonna
yeah,
say?
Yeah, like,
what do you think she's gonna say, dumbass? I love you.
Yeah, no, that was always weird. Be like, whoa, they left that open. I'm like, what are you guys? Serious?
Come on.
So I've always been into the Finn Rey ship. So I guess like it's not a criticism, but I was like almost hoping for something there. And I was like, because I was so into it, I was almost mad when Rey kissed Kylo Ren. I'm like, no, not him. And I was also that's also one of the reasons why like it's so weird to like try to be negative towards Rose because there's baggage with that now because right. of people being assets. But like one of my reasons why maybe I wasn't so into Rose is because I was like an anime fanboy and I was too much into my own Rey Finn ship, I guess.
Yes.
Finn ship. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Right. Okay. So I guess now the bigger question, the important one. So what are your rankings now for the episode movies?
Oh, God. Okay. I mean, this is hard because, again, I've seen it once a couple days ago. So I'm going to try to do this off the top of my head. Okay. So obviously 5, then 4, then 7.
7 before 6.
Then 6, then 9, then 8, 3, 2, 1, 2.
8, 3, 1, 2. Okay. I see it.
What about you?
Thank you. Wow.
There was
yeah, right.
I'm fucking with you. Go ahead.
All right. 5, 4, 6, 7, 9, 8, 1, 3, 2.
Okay.
I will get... I think Fan Mass is the best of the prequels only because it has the most practical effects, it has the best soundtrack, and the pod race scene is pretty cool.
And Duel of the Fates.
Yeah, that's my soundtrack, right? Like,
right. Well, I mean, the fight, too.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's fine. So, all right. So, I guess we'll put that to bed for Star... I will say that, like, I think for the next good while here, Star Wars could be TV shows. Especially with how good The Mandalorian is.
Mandalorian's so good.
Let's do more of that for a while. And then, like, maybe... like you need to almost kind of do, like, with Force Awakens, where... It was a long enough break that people got really excited when it was back.
Yeah. Well, and Kathleen Kennedy, I guess, made some statement where, like, they're not going to feel like they have to do trilogies all the time.
Sure, well.
And Bob Iger, like, kind of walked back in that to kind of say, like, we're just going to do what feels right.
Yeah.
And leave ourselves open to whatever, but...
We'll see.
Yeah, I think now is a good time. Mandalorian's proven... that they have a way to explore the universe.
All right, I mean, do that. Do the Obi-Wan show. Do whatever other, like, thing you want to do.
Well, because even, like Rogue One and Solo, even though they were not necessarily, like, Skywalker Saga, they were still so connected to those original films, but Mandalorian truly does stand on its own in that same playground. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, obviously we have the Obi-Wan show coming out, so that's not quite what I'm talking about, but I just really want that show.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, the Cassian Andor and K2SO show should be pretty good.
Oh, that is a,
I'm pretty excited about that.
We'll see. That is a show too. I forgot about that. All right. What else do you want to talk about then before we wrap this up?
Well, since we're in Star Wars mode, talk a little Jedi Fallen Order. Because I finished it.
I mean, I finished it.
I beat a game, Mike. Aren't you proud of me?
It only had to be a Star Wars game.
And on the second highest difficulty, too.
Yeah, well, it is a game you kind of... I feel like...
Well, it's funny. It's like I said, it's the same reason why, like, I could play, like, Warcraft. Like, I could play Hearthstone, but I play Magic Gathering, and I'm bad. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have an inherent understanding of what's going on. Because I know Warcraft so well. So, like, just like Star Wars, you know, like... Everyone says it's kind of like a Dark Souls-esque game, right? You put me in Dark Souls, Estus Flasks or whatever they're called, and weird demons. I don't know what they're supposed to do.
The vocabulary is very different.
Right. I know how a lightsaber works. Yeah. You know? I know what a stormtrooper is. Like, I could just, like, slip into that a little more easily.
Well, because you played Sekiro, too, a little bit.
Yeah, I got it and started it after finishing Jedi, and I'm glad I did it in that order, because if I, like, just, like, randomly picked up Sekiro over the summer, I would have bounced off of it real hard. Real, real hard. Because that game makes Jedi Fallen Order on the second highest difficulty seem like I'm playing like the Paw Patrol video game. It's night and day as far as the difficulty spike. But I do agree with everyone. I'm curious to hear what you think on this. So
yeah.
People complain about the backtracking, and I don't have the issue that most people do. But I do feel the strongest parts of this game are the parts that are a bit more linear. Just from
the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
See, like, my favorite part of the game is probably, like, the first, like, big go-around with Zepho, I guess. So, mm-hmm. Not that. I don't agree with that necessarily. Like, even the very end, I don't think that's the strongest point of the game.
Not the very end. I want to go full spoiler here, I guess. But, like, the last third, when you, it's just kind of like your objectives become a little more clear, and it's, like, it's more guided at that point.
No, still no. Still no for me.
That's fine.
We're enemies for life.
No.
It'll be interesting to see what they do for the next one.
And I'm pretty confident there will be, and that makes me very happy.
Oh, there absolutely will be.
Yeah, it's always that example of Assassin's Creed 2. But by no means was this like Assassin's Creed 1. This would be like Assassin's Creed 1.7.
Well, I got to defend Assassin's Creed 1 a little bit. That was a very interesting game at the time. Yeah, I liked Assassin's Creed.
No, I understand. I mean, like, they introduced a new character very late in the game, for example. It's like, oh, that was weird. It's like, you know, hope to see more of that person.
Oh, yes.
In the sequel.
Yes, for sure. Jeff Fon's meeting Santa today.
Yeah, you know, that's always, we do a thing in a nearby town here where you
the nicest town in America.
That's voted right, by Columbiana, Ohio.
Voted by who? Home and Garden?
No, it was someone. Something. Reader's Digest.
Reader's Digest. Nicest town in America. That's Columbiana, right. Ohio.
So yeah, the park, they have some lights, you kind of drive through it, then you get to Santa's ice house at the end, and you take some pictures with him, and you get to decorate your own plate.
It was such a nice time, and your kids were loving it, and then your one kid left her candy cane there, and
like didn't realize it's like after we left, and just had a meltdown.
She was about the candy. She doesn't even like candy canes.
No, we finally got her a candy cane from your place once we got back. She didn't even like it.
So I'm like, oh, Olivia, I have candy canes at home. She's like, I don't want Uncle Mike's candy cane. So I had to like start like being real silly. I started talking about how I was gonna marry Hans from Frozen.
Yes.
And then Livia said, you can't marry him, and I was like, oh no,
he's a and we're like, oh, where's this going? Bad guy. We're like,
wow, very progressive, Livy. And then your other kid was
5 minutes later, she said, wait, Uncle Mike can't marry Hans. They're both boys. And now we had to be like, well, they could.
Then we're like, no, the boys can marry boys. Then she's like, oh, you should. Then he's like, Uncle Mike should marry Daddy.
Like, okay, hang on.
I was like, no. So she's like, Uncle Mike should marry me. Like, no.
We went the other way.
She just suggested I start marrying everybody in her family. And yeah, I was like, all right.
Okay. They actually...
The one that they seemed the most upset by was when I suggested that I marry Elsa. Like no. I think I don't think they were saying it because they wanted to be nice, but I think Elsa's too league. Good for me. They're like,
eh. I was going to say, this is how funny little girls are. And, you know, us having those sisters, we have no exposure to this. So it's all a brave new world to me. They're already concerned about who they're going to marry because they can't comprehend that they will probably end up marrying someone they don't know right now. Right?
The pool is limited.
Yeah. Like
is Sophia marrying that Sam kid?
God, I hope not. Apparently he's an asshole. we try to explain how, like, mommy and daddy didn't even know each other 7 years ago, which is, you know, not that long ago in the grand scheme of things. I played World of Warcraft longer than I've known their mother.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, how do you get them to understand that? Kids are funny. It's very funny. Yes, but they're gonna have a good Christmas. They're getting iPads, the little spoiled brats.
Are they getting a Sega Genesis Classic?
They're getting a Sega Genesis Classic because I got one of those on sale.
My toys from them aren't quite as nice, but they are toys.
they're getting, you know, some Paw Patrol shit and
Paw Patrol, ugh.
Yeah, they still like Paw Patrol. Even though they don't watch it anymore, they still like it.
I was looking for Rocketeer toys for that new show on Kid Disney Jr. Not really any toys.
That's a bummer, because that would have gone over well. Walt got, it's like a little bus with a slide out the back.
Mm.
He climbs and everything now, so we may as well get him something he's supposed to climb on.
He's a year and a half now.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
it's nuts. It's crazy. But yeah, it'll be fun. You know, we gotta play Santa, eat the cookies, drink the milk.
They have that reindeer food too. You got to put some
paw prints. Yeah, I got to put some reindeer food. Well, already Sophia wanted to go get carrots up in the front yard for the reindeer. She said that a couple weeks ago.
It's fun. They're so much more into Christmas than last year when they were three.
It's amazing how much more of an understanding they have after a year goes by.
Right.
Well, Liv was cracking me up because we were getting ready to leave for this thing to go meet Santa. Like I said, one of the things is they give you like paper plates with a little cutout paper, and it's the cookie plate for Santa, you color on it. She remembered doing that. I was like, yeah, we're going to go, you know, drive through the lights. She's saying, it's like, and color. I was like, yeah.
It is impressive. Like, how do you remember that?
Right?
You were a potato a year ago, basically, in my mind. Like, we carried you around and pushed you towards the thing we wanted you to do.
Right? Yeah.
And you were like, ugh. We were like, yeah, go have fun.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, boy.
I'll tell you what. You think you got your kids figured out. We've turned to a parenting podcast. You think you got your kids kind of figured out, like, personality-wise. Like, Sophia's, like, this boisterous one, and Livy's going to be the shy one. We get to Santa, Liv is like a shot. Santa, I want Sky's big helicopter, and I want to draw a picture of you with baby Kiki.
She was.
And Sophia wanted nothing to do with him.
So, terrified. Livy was Miss Christmas.
Oh, I know.
She was all about
it. Driving through the lights, she's pointing at everything, and adorable.
Yeah.
Sophia is just like nervous.
So I wonder if she played it up a little bit, because like her whole thing for the last year is like, oh, I'm nervous when I see Santa. I'm like,
but
I think she is also shy.
Yeah, I think she ultimately
I didn't think she would be shy.
I think she ultimately is shy, which is, again, 2 years ago, I would not have thought that.
Yeah. She's not shy around the family. She won't shut up sometimes. But.
Yeah. But no, even like when we get to like parties and stuff, sometimes
yeah,
they
like explain to her,
like, yeah, there's gonna be people, like, you know these people.
Yeah.
They're your people.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
They all like you.
Yes.
Go
you
hide.
Are a known quantity.
Go then. Hide in the playroom if you want. You
right? Know? Sometimes I wish they would more. But yeah, you know, we watched part two of the Imagineering Story tonight.
Which is great, because it's very Epcot-y focused.
Real, real good. Boy, that's a great series.
Yeah, there's a little much more to do still. So.
And we got one more episode of The Mandalorian left. How's it going to end, Mike?
They'll be okay. Well, it's going to be a season two, so.
Yeah, is there, like, confirmed?
Yes, I think so.
Cool.
I think the first week when it became very apparent that it was a thing.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, more please.
Good.
All right, so everybody.
Like Mandalorian.
So we will probably do one more show before the end of the year with our Game of the Year. If not, it'll be shortly after the
end.
No,
I figured Game of the Year was later this week, between Christmas and New Year's. Isn't that when we usually do it?
Well, then, yeah, but, you know, a lot of people are in town. Things happen, Asgard.
Oh, because usually I want to do it, like, a week later, and you always yell at me, like, no, it has to be the end of the year.
It's going
to
happen. Calm down.
No!
Your movie is trash. No one likes Star Wars anymore.
That's it. Flip.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. We'll also be recording a new episode of 90s Disney soon.
Yeah, reminder what we're doing.
Kilimanjaro Safaris.
That's good, because I remembered.
Our first Animal Kingdom episode. So
yeah, you got your research going for that?
Oh, it's going.
I don't know, like, with all these people in town, you sound like you're going to be pretty busy, Mr. Social Butterfly.
You shut the hell up.
Like, you're learning how to use the distancing mic effectively. Look at you.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Joel Noel.
Hi.
Bye-bye.